We're going to have a lot of career reinvention, especially the next 5 or 10 years, as some career paths no longer exist because of the rise of AI. And I'm always thinking of ways, okay, how are we all going to stay ahead of this trend? What can we do? So I've come up with a formula, and I'm going to break this down for you now, because I honestly believe that so many of us are going to need to upskill, reskill, and make a career pivot in the next 5 years and beyond, maybe even sooner, dependent on how quickly AI comes into the workplace. Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Career Confidence Podcast with myself, Georgie Hubbard. Thank you so much for tuning in today, wherever you are in the world. Now, today's episode, I am going to be sharing with you a personal story of my own career pivot alongside my bold pivot formula, which I write in depth about in my upcoming book, The Bold Move. Now, I have never shared this story before, and I want you as my incredible community to be the first to hear this, because some of you may not know this, but I used to be, goodness, 12 years ago now, I used to be in beauty and skincare, and now I'm in technology recruitment. So some of you might be sat there now thinking, that's quite the change to go from beauty to tech. But when I break it all down and show you exactly the steps I took following my bold pivot formula, I think you're going to really understand and see firsthand just how important understanding your key strengths and skills are, because we all have strengths, and these strengths and skills can be transferred into another job, another industry, once we know the exact steps to take. So I'm going to be sharing how to do that today. And this is something that I am extremely passionate about. It's something I break down in detail in my upcoming book, The Bold Move. So I'm really excited to start sharing some frameworks and some stories from the book with you ahead of it coming out in November. So before I dive into that story and the formula, I want to just quickly take a pause, because I want to also take you on this journey with me. So as some of you know, and if you're new here, thank you so much for tuning in today and welcome. I'm writing a book called The Bold Move, and it's all about building your career confidence and reinventing your career in the age of AI. What are the skills you're going to need? How to position yourself? How to stand out? How to build your personal brand? The mindset needed to go into this new era of work. It's all in there. I'm literally calling it the career blueprint. Everything you need to know to get ahead in your career in 2025 and beyond. So the book's coming out in November, and I have been working with the amazing team at Wiley. So I have a publishing deal, and I met with last week the marketing team. And look, I'll be honest, I went into this quite naive. I've never written a book before. I've certainly had an idea for this book for a long time and sort of started writing a couple of chapters and ideas down right at the start of the year when I first had this idea, pitched it to Wiley. They thought it was a really good concept and they wanted to publish it, which was amazing. And if you want me to go into a bit more detail about how I pitched, what I did to get the publishing deal, reach out to me on LinkedIn, Instagram, TikTok, and I'm happy to share with you the exact steps I took to get that publishing deal. But one thing that came from the marketing meeting, and again, all brand new to me, was that they said to me, pre-sales, Georgie, are really, really important. So my book is now available on pre-sales. So you can go to Amazon, Booktopia, Barnes & Noble, Waterstones, all the main sort of bookstores are now stocking my book for pre-sale, which is incredibly exciting. But the reason why pre-sales are really important, which is what the marketing team said to me, is because it indicates to the bookstores, okay, this is the book that people are going to want to buy. Let's make sure we order more stock. So pre-sales are really important for that reason. So I sat with this all over the weekend, because I'm somebody that when I want to read something, I just want it there and then, right? And I'm sure you're like that as well. So I was thinking to myself, okay, if people want this book, what's going to make them want to buy it now ahead of it coming out in November? Like, what is the value in that? What is the incentive? So I really sat with this over the weekend, and I wanted to really think about this and think about, okay, what do people want? What are people craving? And what other leverage and value can I offer to encourage somebody that wants to buy the book in November to purchase it ahead of time, ahead of it coming out in a pre-sale? So this is what I've come up with. And you can let me know in the comments below or on LinkedIn or Instagram or TikTok whether this is something that is appealing to you. Please reach out. Feedback is very, very welcome. Is that I'm also building the career AI tool called Pivoter. Now, we have had an amazing response to this. We've now got over 200 career professionals on the early access list for Pivoter. And we are, I'm going to say, probably a couple of weeks away now from actually launching this, which is really, really exciting. So this is what I want to offer. If you buy the book on a pre-sale, you will get access to Pivoter for 3 months. So by buying the book on pre-sale list, I'm going to give you 3 months access to Pivoter, the career AI tool, which I know so many of you are already asking about and already want. Now, obviously, there'll be a monthly subscription fee for that, but it's completely free if you purchase the book on pre-sale list. I'm also going to offer an opportunity to get a one-on-one coaching session with myself. So if you're somebody that's at a bit of a career crossroad right now, you're unclear, uncertain of what the next step would be, if you buy the book on pre-sale list, you'll also have the opportunity to have a one-on-one coaching session with myself. And I'm also going to offer free tickets to our upcoming Sisterhood social event. So all the information is going to be in the link below. Just go to theboldmovebook.com. So that'll be in the show notes below. Go and visit that. All the information of what you get for this pre-sale offer will be below. And thank you so much for supporting me throughout this journey. And I have poured my heart and soul into this book. And I really, really, really hope that you get incredible value from it. And the only way you can support me right now is buying the book pre-sale. So thank you so much. And go to the show notes below. So that's a side note, but I just wanted to share everything I'm learning right now. And I was just wanting to think about ways I could offer all the value to my community. So I hope that is enticing enough for you to support buying the book on pre-sale. Let me know. Anyway, going on to the bold pivot formula. So as I said to you before, I have made a pivot myself in my career, and I'm a big believer that careers now are no longer ladders that we climb. They are linear pathways. Like we zig, we zag. We're going to have, I believe, a lot of career reinvention, especially the next 5 or 10 years, as some career paths no longer exist because of the rise of AI. And I'm always thinking of ways, okay, how are we all going to stay ahead of this trend? What can we do? So I've come up with a formula, and I'm going to break this down for you now, because I honestly believe that so many of us are going to need to upskill, reskill, and make a career pivot in the next 5 years and beyond, maybe even sooner, dependent on how quickly AI comes into the workplace. So if you're somebody right now that knows that the writing's on the wall for you in your career, or maybe you're a bit nervous, or maybe you're just at the point where you want to start something new and you're like, you got that itch, you got that little bit of, like, I guess, uncertainty, this sort of like, you want to take this next bold move, you want to be courageous, but you don't quite know where to start. This is the formula, because I felt that exact same way when I was in beauty. So to give you a bit of context, when I was 16, I left school and I went into beauty and skincare because I wanted to travel. And I had a big goal of going on the cruise ship. So there's a company called Steiner, and you could basically work on the spas. And I thought, how amazing would it be to work on a spa on a cruise ship and see the world at the same time and get paid to do that? Not a big fan of flying, so air hostess definitely didn't appeal to me. And I also have always been somebody that has really loved helping people. And the idea of, you know, doing skincare and treatments for people to make them feel good really, really appealed to me. So I went to Oxford College and I did my 2 years to study skin and beauty and cosmetics and got that qualification. Now, instead of jumping straight on the cruise ships, in fact, I didn't even go on the cruise ships in the end. What I did was I got a spa manager job in the Cotswolds, and I did that for 18 months because I realized I needed a bit of experience in the industry first. So I did that for 18 months. Then I went to work for a company called Mark Warner, which took me to work in Greece. So I ran the spas for them in Greece for about 8 months. And then I flew to the Southern Alps in France and ran spas for them there. And I did this for a couple of years. So I used my qualification in beauty and skincare to help me travel and sort of, I guess, see parts of the world and work overseas. Then I flew back to the UK for a brief 12 months, worked in a clinic there and realized that the fact that the UK was pretty dark, dull and miserable, and especially in winter. And I decided that I just didn't want to stay in the UK. So I looked online and I started looking at Australia. Now, growing up in the UK, watching Home and Away, I had this vision of like white sandy beach and rolling waves and thought, yeah, that's where I'm going to go and live. So I literally applied for a year's working visa, hopped on a flight within the next 3 months of deciding to leave the UK, came to Australia with a rucksack and got a job pretty much that week running a clinic in Melbourne. Now, pause there, because I honestly thought all of Australia was warm. And I landed in Melbourne in September with literally nothing but a rucksack, shorts and t-shirts, because I just traveled around Asia for a month. So I was a bit of a shock to the system when I got to Melbourne airport, stepped outside and thought, oh my goodness, where am I? It's freezing. And everyone was then telling me, Melbourne, you've got four seasons in one day. And I soon realized how accurate that was. Anyway, so I land in Melbourne, get a job in a skin clinic, and I just basically fell in love with Australia. And I was looking for ways to stay. I didn't fancy going to pick vegetables and fruit at a farm. So I thought, okay, I need to get sponsorship. So I started thinking about ways that I could stay in the country. And this then led me to my career pivot. So when I started thinking about this, obviously, I was very fortunate to get to know a lot of people that came into the clinic for treatments. And I remember this one woman that would always come in. She was always immaculately dressed. She always had like a really nice handbag and beautiful makeup. And anyway, me being curious by nature, I started asking her, look, what do you do for work? And she said to me, well, I'm in sales. And I was like, what kind of sales? And she was like, well, I'm in recruitment. And I was like, oh, okay, tell me more. So anyway, started to have a conversation. And she was like, you know what, you'd actually be really good at recruitment. She's like, you know, part of basically all recruitment is yes, there's a sale component to it, but it's all about building relationships. It's all about basically, you know, sort of helping people get jobs. You know, you help people in the clinic every day. I think that could be a really good transition for you. So that was kind of like planted the seed. Anyway, didn't do too much about it there and then, but certainly sort of had an idea of what I could do with my current skill set. And then it really came to crunch time because my working holiday visa was coming to a close. So I knew I had to act. So what I did, and this is the first step in the bold move formula, is I sat down one afternoon and I wrote out, what are my current strengths? What am I good at? So the B in the bold move formula is begin where you are. So this is where you sit down and you think, okay, what am I good at? What comes naturally to me? What are my strengths, both hard, so the tangible skills. So for me, those hard skills were I could work quite complex machines. I was really good when it came to booking systems. I was really good at marketing. I was really good at sales. All of these things came quite not naturally to me, but I'd had the experience over the course of my 6 years running spas across the globe that told me a story that I was good at certain things in this industry. So these were my hard skills. Then I had a list of my human skills, or people call them soft skills. I think that needs to be changed, but my human skills. So see, these were things like active listening, verbal communication skills, empathy. I also was very adaptable and resilient because I'd moved all around the world. And I knew that I had a certain amount of skills that I could package up, reframe, and take into a different industry. So wherever you are right now, identify first and foremost, what are you good at? What are your strengths? Hard and human. Write them down and you will be amazed at how many strengths you actually have. So that is step one. Work out what your skills and strengths are. Once you've got a list of your current skills and strengths, then comes the next part of the Bold Move formula, which is opportunities open to you. So this is where you pick one of your hard skills or even one of your soft skills, human skills. You can go to job sites like Indeed, Seek, LinkedIn jobs and type in those keywords. So for me, I typed in sales. I typed in customer service. And what came up on the job boards was like literally a whole world of opportunities. So I saw customer service rep, I saw sales rep, I saw recruitment consultant, which is then obviously what the other women had said to me. So I was like, okay, I'm going to explore that. So I clicked on the job ad and I read it all through. And instead of being petrified of it, because there were some pretty like big words in there that I had no idea, I just thought, you know what? I actually do tick a lot of these boxes on this job ad. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to update my CV and make sure that my CV has these core skills within it. Now, I didn't lie on my CV. I didn't put anything in there that wasn't untrue. But what I did was I read through the job brief and I picked a few things that were clearly important to this company. So things like client relationships. Well, I had 6 years in beauty building great client relationships. Things like excellent communication skills. Again, I have very clear communication skills from working in beauty for the last 6 years. Things like ability to navigate a database. Well, again, I deal with client portals, client databases, all in beauty, right? So it might not be the exact database in recruitment, like Bullhorn and all of the other ones, whatever they're advertising for, but I knew how to navigate a database. I knew how to navigate an ATS system. So it was just all about tailoring my CV to match this job brief. Anyway, so there were the opportunities. I'd already had the conversations through people that came into the clinic. So this is another part of opportunities open to you. Look at people who are in industries that you're curious about exploring. So if you want to get into tech, go and speak to somebody that works in technology, whether they're a product owner, a project manager, a BA, a data analyst, a software engineer, a cybersecurity expert, but go and start having conversations with people that work in these industries. If you know somebody, we've got a friend of a friend, reach out to them and just ask, hey, what does a typical work day look like for you? What are some of the things that you really enjoy about the work? What are some of the things that are frustrating to you about the work? Just go with a list of questions. And in my book, I literally have about 10 questions that I give you to sort of take these conversations so you go in fully prepared of what to ask. So you can start thinking, is this going to be a good match for my skills, but also my values and what's important to me? So that's step two, opportunities open to you. So going back to me reading this job brief. So obviously I didn't tick all the boxes, but I sent my CV anyway, tried to tailor it up as much as I could and press send. Anyway, a few days went past, hadn't heard anything. And I decided that I was going to make a bold move. And I saw that there was a number on the job brief. So I just dialed it and I called and a guy, I'm going to call him Tim, picked up. And Tim basically just said, you know, this is Tim from recruitment.com. I won't say the name of the company. You can probably go to my LinkedIn profile and figure it out. But anyway, he picked up and I said to him, look, Tim, I've just sent you my CV. I'm applying for the junior recruitment position. And this is why I believe that I am going to be a fantastic fit for that role. Spoke far too fast at him for way too long. And when I eventually came up for air, he said, thank you, Georgie, for giving me a call. We would love to invite you in for an interview. Can you come in this Thursday at 5 p.m.? So I said, sure, no problem. Put down the phone, obviously jumped up and down with delight that I had an interview. And then I had to go and actually interview. So when I actually got to the interview, there was 10 other people in the waiting room. And I didn't realize it at the time, but I had massive imposter syndrome. So I'm sat there having sort of a few conversations with people. Some had already worked in recruitment. Some had HR degrees. Some were just so polished and professional. And I literally sat there thinking, oh my God, like I feel so out of my depth here. Anyway, I thought, do you know what, George, you know, you just got to do your best, go for it. What will be, will be. It'll be a great experience regardless. The next breath, two men in suits come in to the waiting room where we're all sat, and they just say, right, everyone follow us. And I'm thinking, hang on a minute, is this not meant to be a one-on-one interview? No. It was a group assessment. Oh my God, I remember just going in thinking, this is the most terrifying thing I've ever done. But I thought, right, you're here now, let's just roll with this. But again, this is also where my life skills came in. I was calm under pressure. I knew how to communicate. These are all the life skills that I've had. Like I've been in situations where I've been traveling, where things haven't gone my way, where I've had to make some pretty quick decisions on the spot to get myself out of something that was a little bit dangerous. Like I've had to think on my feet throughout my whole entire life up until that point. So I knew I had it. I was like, come on, you've got this. You've come to Australia the Rucksack on your own, not knowing anyone. You can navigate this interview. So in I go, and I don't remember all of the, there was three things that they did, but one test they did was Tim, the guy that I called up and introduced myself to. He was pretending to be a really annoyed client, and my job was to calm him down. Now, this is something, again, that I had done in beauty for years. There was always a difficult client, always somebody that wasn't happy with the results that they got from their skincare package. And it's always my job to listen, understand, and provide a solution. And that's normally all clients want. They want communication, transparency, to feel heard, to feel seen, and then you as the consultant are there to provide the solution and make sure that they're happy with that solution. So that's what I did. I literally just treated it like any other client call that I'd had in beauty. Anyway, he hung up, broke character, and said to me, Georgie, where did you learn to do that? Anyway, long story short, I got the job. And this is the most important thing that I want you to hear. There were people in that room that were more qualified, that had more experience than me. However, my transferable skills, the skills that I had acquired from beauty, from that industry, translated beautifully into technology recruitment. And this is something that I just don't think gets spoken about enough. Especially now as we move into this new tech-enabled world, like these technologies are brand new. This is the unfair advantage now, right? Like no one's got 10 years in software engineering. No one's got 20 years in AI, right? This is brand new to everyone. So the level playing field has never been so level in my entire career. This is your opportunity to shine. And if you know how to present yourself, if you know how to put yourself forward, package up your skills, learn what you need, which is the third, by the way, step in the Bold Move formula, you are going to get ahead because you have wisdom, you have knowledge, and you have transferable skills that industries are needing right now. Anyway, so I got the job, and then this is the next step in the formula, which is learn what you need. And this was a massive learning curve for me, I'll be honest. So obviously I had the sort of like the human skills down pat, but when I went into the office on that first day and I got given a laptop and I was literally just left with all of this big document of all of these technology languages. And I literally looked through it all and I was like, how am I going to learn all of this? How am I going to qualify a candidate? How am I going to speak to a client and sell in a candidate when I can't even pronounce half these things on this CV, right? And it was a massive, massive learning experience for me. But this is what's so important, because anytime you make a pivot or anytime you go to do something new, you're going to have to be prepared, but you're going to have to be prepared to suck a little. You're going to have to step outside your comfort zone, be courageous, and understand that through these courageous actions that you take, that's what builds confidence. You don't wait until you feel ready. You don't wait until you feel confident. You first and foremost have to have the courage, because the courage then builds the competence. And once you start having the competence, you then build the confidence. So honestly, the first 2 to 3 months in this brand new job, it was a bit of a blur. I was fumbling through my calls. And by the way, this is the fourth step in the formula. Do the work. And the doing the work bit is where so many people fail, because doing the work is uncomfortable. Doing the work for me looked like fumbling through my calls, sending CVs that the client was like, I don't know why you're sending me the CV. It's not relevant to the role. Fluffing everything, making a ton of mistakes, but learning. And I even remember the first cold call I ever did. Oh my goodness. I was so nervous. I think sweat was pouring down my face. I had my manager listening in as well. It was an absolute disaster. But again, this is where resilience and adaptability came in. I hung up and he looked at me. He's like, that could be better, Georgie. What do you think you could have improved upon? I was like, this, good self-awareness. And I was like, let's go again. And I kept going. I kept doing the work. I kept putting in the reps. And by the 100th cold call, I was 100 times better. And this is what people don't want to do. But this is what growth feels like. It's uncomfortable. It's messy. It's, you know, you feel like a fraud. It's when imposter syndrome is shouting the loudest. But you have to learn to move with it. You have to learn to shut down the inner critic and be prepared to suck. If I go back and listen to even like my first couple of podcasts, cringe. And this isn't even my first podcast either. I did another podcast before this. So I've had to learn so much throughout this process about how to interview, how to communicate, what lands. And I'm not perfect, far from it. But I like to think I have improved, I got better. And the only way you get better is by doing the work. So obviously, I did the work. I got better and better and better. I then stayed with that agency for 18 months. It was not the best culture at the time. So I decided to leave and got another job with another agency. And I went on to become the top performing consultant in that business. And this all happened because I was willing to back myself. I took a bold move. I had a risk. I bet on myself and I was prepared to do the work. So I really hope that that kind of gets you thinking today about all the things, all the strengths that you have, all the things, all the opportunities that you could go into, thinking about what you need to learn to stay relevant, and understanding that doing the work is not glamorous. Doing the work feels uncomfortable. Doing the work feels like some days you just want to crawl up into a ball and go back to what feels easy and comfortable, right? And I could have easily done that so many times. Like, you know, I remember one week in recruitment, it was just so tough. And I was thinking, what am I doing this for? I had, you know, a nice little cushy career in beauty. I was running clinics. I was reasonably well paid. But I knew that that wasn't the answer to life. I knew that the answer to life isn't just coasting and feeling comfortable and never pushing ourselves to do anything better and using our brains in different ways. Like, I wanted to make this work. So I did everything in my power to make it work. So that is today's episode. And that is just one of the formulas that I share and one of the many stories that I share in the book. I've got many, many, many more in the book. And, you know, my intention is always just to meet you where you are and to think about what is going to give somebody the most value. What are people struggling with right now? And look, I honestly do believe that over the next 2 to 3 to 5 years, we are all going to need to continuously upskill, reskill, and pivot. And if you always apply this formula, you really are going to have a bit more of a clearer pathway to get you from where you are to where you want to be. So I really hope this episode served you. So going back to what I said at the start, I would love your support now more than ever. I've obviously written this book. I've poured my heart and soul into this. This is my life's work. This is one of the most, if not the most, most important thing I've ever put out into the world. And I'm so passionate about this. I really, really want this book to do well because I do believe it's needed now more than ever. And if you want to support me and you want to get all this value, so 3 months access into Pivotar, the chance to have a one-on-one coaching session with myself, free tickets to our next Sisterhood Social, then please go to the link below and purchase the book on pre-sale. It would absolutely mean the world to me. And please reach out to me. I love hearing from you. And tell me what your biggest takeaway was from this episode today. And I love hearing from you. So please do that. And thank you so much for tuning in. Wherever you are in the world today, apply the bold pivot formula and don't hold yourself back in life because you have skills, you have gifts, and the world and companies and industries now need them more than ever. And for the women listening to this right now, we need to stay in the workforce. We need to stay front of mind. We need to be innovating now more than ever because I do not want to see us fall behind. I do not want to see us take a step back. I do not want to see all of these brand new jobs that are going to be created go to the same people that got the jobs when the internet was created. AI is leveling the playing field. There has never, ever been so much opportunity for abundance in this world. In my whole career of 12 years, I feel so passionate and excited about what's happening in the world right now, but we need to act. So share this podcast with somebody that is thinking about a career pivot and let's all make some bold moves together. Let's create a movement. Let's create momentum now more than ever because otherwise we could fall behind. So thank you so much for tuning in today and please go and check out the book. And I really hope that this podcast has offered you lots of value today. Have a great week ahead and I'll speak to you soon. Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. If you've got this far, that honestly means the world to me and lets me know that you've got a lot of value from today's episode. So if I could just ask you to do one thing, pull out your phone and please leave a quick review. It honestly would mean the world to me. It will help this podcast grow and get our message out there to more people. So if you could do that for me, that would be amazing. And please reach out and just let me know what you want to hear more about, what you're interested in. It will just also help me make sure that I'm continuing to speak to topics that are relevant and also find guests that are real true experts in what you want to know more about. So have an amazing day. Thank you so much for doing that. And I can't wait to share the next episode with you. Thank you.